The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 5, Scene 3. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter, but it's kind of weird because I'm not really going to be part of the show today. I'm just here to act as button pusher and let the other two people who are here talk about Holmes and Watson, which is playing at Swift Creek Mill through October 12th. So why don't you guys introduce yourself and then talk about the show.
Hi, it's Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
And I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly. So if you're a fan of Sherlock Holmes, you may be familiar with the story of The Final Solution, where Sherlock Holmes supposedly meets his death. So this play by Jeffrey Hatcher picks up right after that. Sherlock Holmes has been presumed dead for a while. Well, all of a sudden, Dr. Watson gets called to Scotland, to a sane asylum, where three men have all claimed to be Sherlock Holmes and needs to determine who it is. I enjoyed the show. I thought it was a little convoluted.
Definitely convoluted. And that's part of the joy of it for me. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed all the little twists and turns, the red herrings, the rabbit holes. I loved that part.
I did enjoy it. I thought Joe Papps was excellent as Watson. All around, I enjoyed the cast. And I liked that the set by Tom Witt kind of captured that feeling of being in a castle, an old Scottish castle.
Oh, it did. Absolutely. It felt like an old castle, kind of dark, dank, dreary. Joe Duran's lighting, I thought, added real depth and drama to Tom Witt's kind of minimalist set there.
I think that all of the technical elements, they really add to the feel of this time. You do feel that you're in this kind of dank, old setting, and you know, you just feel the chill of the place.
You talked about Joe Papps as Watson, mm-hmm. but there were three people, actually, who have to play Sherlock Holmes. Daniel Moore, who is a kind of menacing figure with a tendency to be violent. And then there's Axel Burtness, who is just like this crazed guy who looks like he really belongs in the insane asylum, mm-hmm. wearing a straitjacket.
Yep.
And then we have Jonathan Hardison as kind of a deaf-mute character, which is very odd.
Every time you think you might have some sort of understanding of what's happening, it completely twists everything on you.
Well, there were some scenes where I kind of questioned, like, why did he do that? Why would he say that?
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end, it's revealed. And it's really kind of hard to talk about this because you don't want to give anything away.
You know, under John Moon's direction, it moves pretty quickly. The whole thing has no intermission. It's about an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 20 minutes in total.
Which is very unusual for a production at Swift Creek Mill.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but I don't know if it's going to be everyone's cup of tea.
I agree with that. I really enjoyed getting got. I mean, they got me.
Uh-huh.
And Julinda and Rich have been talking about Holmes and Watson, which is playing at Swift Creek Mill through October 12th. As a special bonus surprise today on Curtain Call, we have an exclusive interview with actor, playwright, and cabaret performer Charles Bush. Charles, welcome to Curtain Call.
Great being with you today.
Obviously, you've been in Richmond before doing your cabaret, and I remember seeing Psycho Beach Party at Triangle a couple seasons ago, which, of course, you wrote. And now you're coming back to Richmond in person and then in theatrical life, I guess. I don't know how you would say that with a play.
Yes, by pen.
By pen, there you go. Or by word processor, I guess.
Yeah. It's wonderful. I'm very honored and touched that I've had this ongoing relationship with the Triangle Players.
So tell me, how is Native New Yorker, which is the name of this act, how is that different from the one last time?
I kind of dipped my foot into cabaret performing over the years at different times, but for the past 7 years, I've really centered on it. And I find it fascinating because ultimately it's the performer is really trying to be as honest as possible. And as I guess the word people use now is authentic. And that's the fun of it, and that's the challenge of it. So the show I did last year was called My Kind of 60s, and it was all about my childhood and adolescence growing up in New York City. I really loved doing that show, and so it seemed only natural to continue the story into the 70s. And so that's Native New Yorker. And it takes me from college at Northwestern, where I was a theater major, through my struggles trying to figure out how I was going to find some place for myself in the theater. I'm very pragmatic, and I knew in college that I just was not going to be able to have a regular commercial career as an actor. I became a writer and created roles for myself, and the show ends with my big break, which was in 1985 when we did Vampire Lesbians of Sodom. So it makes for a good story, and I've been exploiting it for a long time in my living room, telling people about it. So it's about time I exploit it, you know, in a cabaret setting. And I like to give the audience the feeling that they're just in my living room and I'm just telling them my tale. We've assembled, you know, a wonderful collection of songs from the 70s and 80s and try to reinvent them in different way. And it's been a very, very interesting experience. I'm not the world's greatest singer, you know, technically. I mean, there are, if you're looking for big notes, you know, don't show
right,
up.
Right, right.
But what I think I do well is, you know, I'm an actor and a playwright and a storyteller, so I try to find songs that are very actable, that can really be almost a monologue.
Right, right. You sell those songs. As somebody who saw The Last Cabaret, let's just say you sell those songs very well, which is, of course, the point of it.
It's such a wonderful compliment when people have told me, oh, I thought I knew that song so well, and I didn't realize that how interesting the lyric really was.
And people in Richmond will have a chance to see that at Richmond Triangle on October 11th and 12th. That's Native New Yorker starring the fabulous Mr. Charles Bush.
Well, thank you so much. I hope people will join us. It's a show that I'm just very, very proud of. And Tom and I have traveled so extensively doing it over the past year, and now we're getting together a new show. So I don't think I'll really be performing Native New Yorker much more than after this.
This may be the last chance. I've been chatting with actor, Tony-nominated playwright, and cabaret performer Charles Bush, who will be in Richmond performing his one-man show, Native New Yorker, at Richmond Triangle Players on October 11th and 12th. Thanks so much for being with us today, Charles.
Well, it's been great talking to you. Hope I get to see you. Maybe you'll come to see the show, Native New Yorker.
Okie dokie, I hope to.
Okay, see you then.
And that's it for this week's Curtain Call. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
I'm Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks with lots more reviews.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.